Hey, man.
Hey! Oh, whoops. guess what I did?
You forgot?
I forgot. I stayed at work a long time talking about politics with a friend of mine at work. Yes, I have friends at work. It's true.
Well, there's a lot to talk about today.
Yeah. So,
Were you talking or were you debating?
No, I was talking. We pretty much agree on a lot of things. So that was good.
Thanks.
Yeah. So how about you? How's things, Ben?
Things are good, you know, keeping busy. Everybody here is pumped for the Seahawks game that's going to be happening on Saturday.
I didn't know about that.
Yes, there's a football game. They've got, like, if they win this game, then they get to play another game, and if they win that game, then they go to the Super Bowl.
Hey, you know, the Seahawks won the Super Bowl when I was there.
Yes. And
that was a while back.
I received this Starbucks gift card over Christmas, and because that's what my family does. We just give gift cards to each other.
Well, that makes sense.
Because, you know, nobody knows what anybody likes anymore. And mine has like Seahawks on it, and I went to I generally don't go to Starbucks to get my coffee, except when I have a free coffee via a gift card. But I went into the Starbucks today to get some coffee.
Hey Ben, just give a shout out really quick. Where do you normally go?
Normally I make my coffee. I don't buy coffee. But
Ben's house.
But
best coffee.
If I am at Annex and I want some coffee, I usually go to Cupcake Royale, which is right across the street.
Oh, Cupcake Royale.
Or if I feel like standing in line, then I will go to Cafe Vita.
Cupcake Royale, pretty much right across from Annex.
Yeah.
Cafe Vita, across the street and then down the block a little bit.
You know, it's the Evita is like the hip Capitol Hill place. You know, you can always go in and find half the tables are occupied by people on their MacBook Pros writing their great American novel or coding. That's
Indeed.
Another thing. Anyway, so the lady at the Starbucks said that my Seahawks Starbucks card is a collector's item.
What?
I had no idea. And she says, you know, you could, if they win the Super Bowl, you could probably sell this for eBay. And I'm like, for the $30 that is on the card? She's like, no, for lots more. She said, like, 3 or 4 years ago, there was a Paul McCartney Starbucks card, and it sold for, like, $50 on eBay.
Wow. Was it empty at the time?
I'm assuming that it was an empty card, and it wasn't, like, you know, didn't have, like, $50 on it.
So that's really cool.
This
is a true story.
Yeah.
My friend Jeff Soule sold a moldy lemon online.
A moldy lemon?
I believe he sold it for $50, and the person who bought it paid for the shipping.
And what was the gimmick? What was I? Buy this moldy lemon.
And you remember Jeff Soule. He was on this podcast. He was our only guest.
Oh, that guy.
Well, our only...
Yeah, I remember him.
Mm-hmm. That guy.
I didn't ask him about the moldy lemon, though, because I didn't know about it at the time.
Oh, and get this. Boaz Frankel, famously not a guest on the podcast, is moving to Amsterdam.
So I hear...
Yeah, and he made a calendar.
He did make a calendar,
which I'm gonna plug. It's different every day calendar.
Yeah,
Boaz, your calendar is great. My daughter Betty really loves it.
Today's page was: people estimate that more photos are taken every 2 minutes than were taken in the entire 19th century.
Yep. Did you hear that?
I heard that, but I did not understand it. I mean, I wasn't able to hear it clearly.
People estimate that more photos are taken every
2 minutes.
2 minutes than were taken for the entire 19th century.
Ah, see, I can understand. I can get behind that. I can believe that. That's what I was trying to say. I can believe that.
I would buy that for a dollar.
Yes, I'm friends with Boaz on Facebook, and he and his wife are making quite the name for themselves with that calendar.
Yeah, well, it's a great calendar. I mean, it really is. That's the thing. Lots of times I say something's good, and I'm lying, but this calendar is great. So, yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, so Pogger the Puppet, as you know, now has two bodies.
Did you find the first one?
The first one.
Because it was still missing.
It was on the dresser.
Last time we talked.
It was on the dresser.
It was on the, you didn't look on your own dresser.
Right, because normally it wouldn't be there. So, I'm sorry, he wouldn't be there.
Does he prefer the...
He might show up later.
Male pronouns?
Yeah, oh yeah, 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 Pagu does. No, Teal is the one who is gender neutral.
Ah.
They, them.
I
Pagu is a definite heat.
I saw a... I can't remember if it was a Facebook post or a tweet, but it was somebody being funny saying, how often do I have to change my gender fluid?
Oh, hey. Oh, no.
Slightly insensitive, that's... yet kind of funny.
No. I think... See, here's the thing. It really... there are two things, Ben. I'll tell you the two secrets of humor.
Oh, lay
it
on
me. It goes like
me.
This. The yeah, sure. The person saying the joke, right?
Yeah.
And the audience for the joke.
For instance.
The issue is...
Knock, knock.
Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. One second, Ben.
I heard a knock, knock joke.
Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes a very bad joke.
I thought she was going to go for dishes a stick up.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll do it to her. Hold on.
Okay.
Betty, knock, knock.
No, actually say this. Dishes a shtick up.
Dishes a shtick up. Oh, wow. She's slow clapping me something fierce. This is,
She's what?
It's, she's slow clapping.
Slow clapping.
Oh, it feels so horrible. Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. Audience... Right?
Yeah.
Who are you making the joke for? Right? And then who's saying the joke?
I could not answer any of those questions, actually.
Because,
but theoretically, yeah.
So, I mean, there's more to it, like, you know, what the punchline is and all that kind of stuff. But here's what's happened, Ben. In the world of the internet, audience is not something you can craft anymore.
Nope.
You don't know who's going to be hearing the joke.
They will be offended. Somebody will be offended.
Somebody will be offended. I bring it up. Again, a modest proposal, right, was not written for the Irish.
A modest
proposal. If you were
proposal.
An Irish person, and the idea that you eat your babies, right, would be horrible, and it would be bad. But it wasn't written for the Irish. It was written for the British to kind of shame them. And
for their baby eating?
Well, no. For how they treat the Irish,
right?
Basically, and I could be wrong. Hey, literary scholars, huh. I don't know anything. You're good, and I'm bad. Whatever. But the fact is, right, satire, by and large, is meant to make someone feel bad about the way they think. So a satirical right-wing statement, right?
Yeah.
A satirical right-wing essay is not written for the left-wing to, like... Should not be. I should say that. Should not be written for the left wing to read and go, ha ha, right wingers are so stupid. Should be for the right wingers to read and go, oh man, okay, do I sound like that? I feel bad about myself. That's like the basic general idea. So that if someone uses satire, quote unquote, right, as simply an excuse to engage in bad behavior... because they think it's funny, to say bad things, then that's not really satire.
I think that's gaining or has gained a lot of momentum in our democratized media landscape. And mm-hmm. the phrase "it's just a joke, bro" has become sort of the calling card of people who do bad things to strangers for views.
Right, and that's
not necessarily satire, but it kind of dovetails along with what you're saying. Because I don't really
the thing is, and this is the whole concept of punching up versus punching down.
Yeah.
Is kind of wrapped up in the two axes of, you know, who's it for,
right,
and who's saying it. Because the idea is, if you're saying it, right, so like I'm using you as, you know, not you, Ben, but one. If one is a member of a high status thing, like a rich white dude, right?
Yeah.
And the intended audience is also rich white dudes, right? As soon as it leaves that bubble, it becomes a huge problem.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden other people are hearing it. And you may think from what I'm saying, right, that someone should be able to tell a joke within that audience, right, and not be called to account for what they say in that audience, right? Which is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if it had stayed in that audience, then it wouldn't have offended anyone else. Would it have, for example, cheapened the butt of the joke in the minds of those people? Maybe yes. Therefore, doing damage. It is true, you can do damage even if you're writing something for a specific audience in an enclosed space. But the fact is that depending on who the person is, they can say the same joke in a wider audience and be all right. The thing I think about is this. You have the guy who is a comedian, he's a stand-up comic, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Right? A writer for Chris Rock. There are things that Louis C.K. most likely wrote for Chris Rock to say that Louis C.K. would not have been able to say and have it be okay. Nowadays, it's a little bit different. He's super famous. People like him. So he gets away with a lot more stuff. But you see what I mean.
Yeah.
It's sort of a twin pole thing. Who are you, right? And that's not to say that Chris Rock is the mouthpiece of Louis C.K. so that he can say these things. Chris Rock is the comedian for whom Louis C.K. is writing. Right? Does that make sense? It's different. Louis C.K. isn't saying it. Chris Rock is saying it.
If you're a joke writer, don't write your jokes, write their jokes.
Right, you write jokes for other people. And it seems weird for some folks. If you're not a joke writer, it may seem like you're using the other person as an excuse to do it. But the only way I can describe it is like, it's like if you're writing a song, right? You might write notes that you can't hit, but you know this other person can. And so it works. Maybe I'm not being cool with that, but that's the way I think of it, basically. Oh, so anyway, let me tell you what my political issue du jour is. Can I do that? Do you mind? Is it too?
What's your lay it on me. What's your political issue du jour?
So this morning, right?
Yeah.
Healthcare, right?
Yeah.
The voting for the healthcare stuff
to go away. For our listeners,
the
House voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
Senate.
The House did. It goes to the Senate.
Wait, what? I thought it was the reverse. Are you sure? Are you positive? Who's Cory Booker? Is he House or Senate?
I don't know. I'm not gonna. I can say either one, but I have a 50-50 chance.
I think it's Senate. Are you sure that it's the House?
Well, see, here's the thing. Or are you just guessing? I read that the Senate had already voted to do this, but then it came right out last night that there was another vote
going. Oh no! Last night the Senate voted, and it was going to the House. Almost positive.
Yeah, okay, it's the Senate.
Aha! Who won? Paul won. A debate between you and me. And it was me. I'm victorious.
Guess what? Yay. Guess who gets to edit this out of the podcast?
You lost. Get over it. See, okay, now this is my point. This is what I was trying to make a point. It was just a joke, bro. Here we go. the basic thing is this. So the Senate voted to remove these things from the Affordable Care Act. And someone, not going to say who they are, but someone said, but emails, right, you guys? ? The idea being, oh, but Hillary Clinton's emails are such a big deal that now Trump is president and so on and so forth.
Right.
This is never, ever going to not be incredibly annoying to me, because the email thing, while in the face of everything that is going on, is, in fact, you know, not as big of a deal, it's still not okay. It's still, if you deal with classified material, it's still an issue, and I've worked really hard to figure out an analogy for it, and I've come up with it, and I'd like to share the analogy with you. Okay.
All right.
Husband and wife are standing on the side of the road. They have just witnessed a 5-car pileup. The cars are burning in front of them. The cars could explode at any minute, right? Husband turns to the wife and says, "Huh. And you're mad that I left the baby in the car for a half hour." The baby's fine.
The baby's not part of the 5-car pileup?
No. He's referring to his wife about a time that he went inside to mail a letter. He was a little bit long and the baby was in the car, and she got mad because something could have happened to the baby. Nothing happened to the baby. Baby's fine. But you're making a big deal about it. And look, these 5 cars just crashed. 2 different things, both important. One doesn't negate the other one.
No, but there is an end result here that you need to think about.
I'm making you argue a point that I know that you don't necessarily hold. I realize that, and I apologize.
There's an end result you have to look at here. There's, like, the controversy that was created around the Clinton emails was this is a real problem with national security issue than it was a distraction. And so for this guy, leaving the baby in the car is not even related to the outcome of this 5-car pileup. Now, if the baby was in the car, I can't even try to
well, no,
merge
because
them.
What I'm
but,
saying
you know,
is that
it's the way the Republicans treat Benghazi, the way the Republicans treat the emails it represents this sort of baseline hypocrisy that we've been seeing from these party leaders.
Who are they?
But the end result is who are they convincing to vote, right?
Who are the people? Right, and I think you and I are hitting on maybe the same thing. Who are the people who are saying, but emails, right? Who are they talking to? This is what I'm getting at. Who is the audience for that statement?
It's their own audience, but they're also trying
to... My point is this. I think the audience, right, is a Democratic voter that does not exist. I think they're talking to the people that, because of Hillary Clinton's emails, didn't vote for Hillary Clinton.
They're not necessarily
people who normally would vote Democrat, but they didn't vote Democrat because of the email thing. I think that's who they're talking to. I think they're also
trying to appeal to independents who are still on the fence. This is all, you know, hypothetical because it's all over with now. But they're trying to
appeal to independents. Yeah, and I think that was the other thing, is that statement, but emails, right? This is the thing, and this is why I don't think it's great. I think that they're talking to the people. They're talking.
It's
not to do anything about moving forward. They're trying to get back some of the. They're trying to retroactively convince people of something that doesn't. They're trying to win an argument that they. That they feel like they lost in the past.
Are you talking about people who are now saying, but emails every time something terrible comes out about the current the future administration,
yes.
People
that
are
going, that is exactly what I'm saying.
But people are like sarcastically saying, but emails.
Right. That is exactly what I'm talking about. Yes.
All right. It's
it drives me nuts.
Drives you nuts.
Can't stand it.
Are still sore about that.
Yeah, because it's not doing anyone any good. If you are someone, right? And I'm speaking. Well, I'll speak for myself specifically. I care about that as much as I care about finding out that you cheated on a math test. I don't like it. Not cool. I'm not going to stop being your friend, still vote for you in November, whatever. But it's not a cool thing.
Remember when...
If every time... When you and I were in high school and you cheated on a math... I realized that we never...
No, I was going to say, remember the whole Swift boat controversy when John Kerry was running for president in, what was that, 2004?
It was
another one of those things. That was John Kerry's email.
This is the difference, though. The Swift boat thing... Right? Was concocted and overblown and all that kind of stuff. The email thing was an actual thing that actually happened. It's real. And this is what I'm talking about. It's real. It is actually problematic, but it's over with. Everybody is like, no one's in jail. Everything's great. You know, you don't have to defend Hillary Clinton about that anymore. It's all done. If everyone would just move on from it. Every time it gets brought up, I have to go back to saying, this is actually a real problem.
It keeps getting brought up because it's an illustration of how one side can manipulate the other side. And it's an so the Democrats keep saying, but emails, sort of like, look, and they're not saying it to like irritate Republicans. They're saying it to other Democrats. They're saying, you know what? We let this get out. We let this not get out, but we let this become a bigger thing than it is. And it works.
See, that's the thing, is it's an attempt to minimize it. And it every time that's brought up, I just as a natural reaction have to go, well, actually it was a real thing. That's the difference.
I'm not arguing that it wasn't a misstep, but are you saying that it's less? I mean, are you saying it's worse than other things that have come out that the Republicans have done, that Trump did?
No. And this is my exact point. What I'm saying is that it's weird and not cool to keep going back to it when that is already over with. It's already done. Here's the thing, and this is why
you're fighting a losing battle, my friend, because people are going to be bringing this up for the next 8 years.
I know, and it'll drive me nuts every single time it happens, because this is the thing. It doesn't matter how bad the other guy is doing stuff. Bringing up a thing that is also bad and say, see how you like me now? How is this? It's never going to be good. It is not as bad as, And I never thought it was as bad as. I voted for Hillary Clinton. That's fine. But if you want me to ever say, you know what, that is okay, people should do that, I'm never going to say that. And so bringing it up just makes me mad. That's all it does. It makes me mad and disgruntles me to whatever it is you're going to talk about next.
All right, I'll be sure not to bring up her emails when I need to ask a favor.
Don't bring it up. Stop bringing it up, Ben, every single time. For the listeners, it was Ben that said, but emails, am I right? And then he did a little smiley face and then wrote pee-pee pants after.
I'm sure you've seen.
I'm beating Ben up.
That Star Wars meme where it shows Leia putting the plans of the Death Star into R2-D2 and it says, you know, Leia put the important confidential plans into an insecure server, and then there's a picture of Jabba the Hutt. Better hand control of the galaxy over to this guy.
See, yeah, and it's not the same thing. And the other thing is that, of course, people get, and I know, I'm not saying you do this, right? Clinton's private email server and the Podesta emails, two totally different things. And people kind of lump them together somehow, which is weird.
Well, because, you know, any excuse to discredit Clinton was taken.
Well, and again, I have to the problem is that they were real things that happened. This is why I had such a hard time with it. The Podesta emails, right, talking about Bernie Sanders and all that kind of stuff, those were real. Those were actual things that were done. And the fact that people keep bringing them up as, see, now this isn't a big deal. It's, again, it's a matter of inches. It is bad. It is bad that you conspired to keep a candidate from having a fair shot at the thing. Didn't stop me from voting for her.
Well,
still
no.
Still voted for her.
Yeah, I think it sounds like we're arguing the same point, but my position is that it was... I think people are still going to say but emails because it was this thing that was from a liberal's point of view, from a Democratic point of view, blown way out of proportion in context of what the Republicans consider what they were doing, you know.
I will grant you this, or what they seem okay with now.
Yeah.
Such as turning completely around. Oh, did you see the thing about how it turns out some guy was trading with Iran back when they were under sanctions, and somebody posted, quick, everybody, switch positions on Iran, because Republicans were like, Iran is really bad. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
And there's, you know, it's weird. The whole climate right now is weird because there was a study that came out that said most Republican voters trust Putin more than they trust Obama.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're so, like, seriously?
You know.
What?
But the thing is, I mean, this is what it all goes back to, the Mandela effect, Ben. They live in a different universe than we do now. All of their information comes from a completely different source than our information comes from. It's crazy, but it's true. The only reason that I can see it is because I'm outside of all spheres of influence, pretty much.
Oh, are you?
Because I'm crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. So I don't trust any source whatsoever.
As I was walking to work today, I was thinking that, you know, there's nothing we can do. We're going to get... at least, or, you know, at most, I hope, 4 years of Trump.
And dude, it'll probably be eight.
We've gone,
and then it'll be one of his sons, and then it'll be the other one of his sons, and it's going to be Trump presidencies. For as long as we can.
We've gone
his daughter,
through
maybe
8 years
also.
of a great, you know, presidency. Now we're going to have 4 years of a terrible dictatorship, and it's not.
However,
I'm not saying it's going to be. I'm not saying it's going to be a terrible because it's a dictatorship. I'm saying he's going to try to be a dictator, but he's going to be terrible at it.
There's hope on the horizon, Ben.
What's that?
You may not know this, but
I don't know a lot.
I heard
of
about
things
this.
You
this is
think.
This is one of the things that that the friend of mine at work and I were talking about. Kanye West is planning a run in 2020. And you laugh now.
No,
but
I know
people
about
were
this.
Laughing
I've heard
before.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, think,
maybe
you think
so.
Conway,
Betty, what do you think about that?
You think Kanye West is our Trump? A thin-skinned, narcissistic, rich guy?
Yeah, well, maybe so. Maybe. And this is the thing.
I'm just assuming
this,
he's a liberal. I don't even know what his politics
seriously.
Are.
Oh no, he's I think he's a wild card as far as that goes. But here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think he's any less qualified?
Any less qualified?
Yeah.
Than Trump?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the qualifications are anymore.
Right? This is the point. It could happen. And before, I'd be like, that's crazy. Now I don't know. Maybe so.
Before 2004, I would have told you that to be president, all you had to do was be, like, over 35 and be a natural-born U.S. citizen. But then the last 8 years taught me that even if you were a natural-born citizen, people were going to call you illegitimate.
Well, I mean, did we ever see the... I'm kidding, Ben. I'm kidding. I couldn't even finish
I never saw
sentence.
It myself, so I don't know. I only saw pictures.
I
never held
really
my hand.
I really liked Obama, even after the bombings of civilians and stuff like that. You know, it's your president. You're president of the United States. You're at the wheel of a gigantic death machine. There's nothing you can really do about it. But I liked him.
Well,
liked
and
him
here's
a lot.
It is the wheels of a gigantic death machine. God damn it, the wheels of a gigantic death machine. But here's the thing. It's a very, very gigantic death machine. Huge.
Yes.
Not small, huge. Like an oil tanker. And it doesn't turn on a dime, right?
Exactly.
The U.S. was bombing people well before Obama started doing it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so
but
we're going to be bombing people well after Trump takes the helm as well.
So now I'm going to just lay it out here. And again, you know, if you're listening to this now because you're investigating me for something, know that I'm a coward and also, you know, I'm really a company guy. I like following rules and stuff like that. I'm just talking and illustrating what I'm seeing. You have nothing to fear from me. Please let my family go. Whatever. What is going to happen? I touched on this the last time. What is absolutely happening? People look and they say, you know, how can this guy be in charge of housing and urban development? He's never done that before. You know, or how can this guy be in charge of the EPA? He hates the EPA. It's specifically because everyone that Trump is appointing is there for one thing and one thing only, and that's to manage the bleeding dry of those federal agencies as the entire federal government is weakened and perhaps shut down. That is the plan.
So they're there to manage to make it bleed more. Is that what you're saying?
To make right to basically to
death panels. Are you calling them? Are you calling the cabinet position death panels?
Death to that. Yes, the death panels for the federal agencies. Everybody who's in charge of a federal agency is there to weaken its power, and to get as much money out of it as they can.
So Make America Great Again is basically Trump saying death to America.
No, death to the federal government, Ben. There's a difference. Anyone will tell you, if you listen to him long enough, that the federal government's the problem. And if it was just gone and all those pesky regulations and everything, everything would be great. All
right, have fun watching your kids die of polio then.
Well, that's the point, Ben. It's gonna be too late. But the answer you're gonna look and you say, this is horrible, and the answer you're gonna get is, yeah, but we can't do anything about it now.
again, big ship, right? Big ship.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to turn in one direction, and then it'll course correct.
It's hard in 4 years. To turn an oil tanker if you care about the oil and the tanker. If you want to just destroy it, you can kind of do that. It's harder to win a chess game than it is to throw the entire chess game.
Toss the board across the room.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, it's harder to beat someone if they're not trying to win. It's weird, but it's also, they can make the game last longer.
It's also hard to beat someone if it's their first time playing. This happens very often in card games.
This is where the Kanye West thing came from.
It's harder to read people the first time they start playing cards.
Well, this is, like I said, the big thing right now with Trump is that nobody knows how to deal with him because they've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
But if you think, and I say not, again, this isn't you, Ben, this is you, the people of the world. If you think that there aren't other guys like him out there, who are ready and willing to do the exact same thing? Absolutely not. There are tons of people who can get into this arena and can do better. You know them. You just don't think of them as running for president right now. And that's when my coworker brought up Kanye West as an example. And it's true. But there are other people too. And again, I think you talked to me about Trevor Noah before. He was saying that he knew that Trump would win, and people said that he's, you know, foolish and, you know, there's no way it's going to work. And he was like, but I've seen it work before in Africa.
Yeah.
This is exactly what happens. People stand up, people get in. And that's the thing, is that there's stuff going on that, and this is the thing that I think, you know, I'm ready for, again, being a paranoid person that other people aren't ready for necessarily, where they hear something like, well, Trump put staffers in to clap for him whenever he told reporters to shut up or whatever. And they're like, how can you do that? That's crazy. You know, and my thought, the thing that I keep thinking whenever I hear all this stuff, is that this kind of stuff was done before. You know, it is not the first time that this has happened. It's just been done better before. And that it's not as cheaply done as obviously done. That's the real issue. Because there's the idea of what was his name? Lean Jimmy, who ran against James K. Polk in a couple of different political races. And they called him Lean Jimmy because he was like 6-something, but only weighed like 110 pounds.
So it wasn't crazy. Like an ironic nickname because he was 400 pounds.
No, it was because he was so super thin.
Skinny Jimmy.
But yeah, look it up. Lean Jimmy. And Lean Jimmy would like, they'd show up and they'd argue with each other and they'd have problems. The thing that's getting people is that, you know, and you hear this is the only time this has ever happened or whatever. This isn't the only time that we've had a bad president. We've had bad presidents before.
Quite recently, actually.
We've had people that, you know, have treated the office poorly and used it for their own advantage and all that. All this stuff has sort of happened. But because we're still here and it's happening now, it seems to be the worst it's ever gotten. I don't know if it's the worst it's ever gotten, but here's the thing. It has the potential to.
Well, and the thing about it feeling like the worst it's ever gotten is because we live in this age of information, and so the American public, if they want to, they can know anything or they can find out anything they want. and the information that comes out from the swamp, you know, from the beltway.
Yep.
It gets out instantaneously. And so it used to be like back in the time of James K. Polk, if he became president and nominated a cabinet member, you didn't find out about it until that guy was already in position.
Yeah. Or, you know, who are these guys? Oh, I don't know.
Yes, exactly. Oh, Polk nominated some random white guy to be, Secretary of War. All right, well, that's a thing. Got to go back and feed the cows.
Now the big thing that is different that I keep thinking about is that we are in a position now, are in a time now, what have you, where if the federal government is weakened, like I think it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
we as the United States are susceptible
to gangrene.
And it's crazy to think about, but we're susceptible to foreign powers taking over stuff or messing with stuff or whatever.
Right.
We've never really had that problem. I wonder what it would look like, because the military and the federal government are two separate institutions. You could get the federal government pretty lean and also still have a very strong military. It would be crazy to think about, but it could possibly happen.
Well, you know, consider the military an arm of the federal government, because the president is still the commander in chief, and he's the boss of the military.
Well, this is an example. Let's say, for example, that you have you were talking about the oil tanker and how you couldn't turn it that fast, right?
Yeah.
Let's say that you have a Donald Trump says, oh, hey, we spend this much on uniforms for our military every year. Let's not do that anymore. I've made a deal with Walmart. They're going to make all of our military uniforms.
They'll be manufactured in China.
Oh, and this is the other thing, is that we're going to have the military people pay for them, but they're going to have a discount. They're going to get a discount off of the cost.
Yeah, we're going to give them a uniform savings account.
Exactly. And that kind of stuff, right, could happen without the whole thing blowing up and having problems. And it would be crazy, but eventually people would get used to it, and it'd be just like, oh, yeah. Why are you in debt? Well, I have to buy all these uniforms. I'm kidding about the debt thing, but still, you know, it ends up you only get paid a certain amount, because you don't have to... Ben, you don't have to pay in cash. It could just be taken out of your paycheck.
Yeah.
And pretty soon you're paying for the gas in your own vehicle. We're privatizing the army. Oh, you get vouchers for all of the gas that you spend when you're driving around. You can, Ben, can you imagine? You get to own your own tank. That's your tank now. You're paying it off by serving in the army. And you have to house it in the army. You know, it's a crazy thing that could happen.
You pay for gas for the tank,
right?
And the bullets.
If you get shot at, you owe money now because you damaged that property.
No, but it's my property.
Because you know you have to pay also.
But it's my property.
Your premiums are going to go up.
I've signed an agreement saying that I'm going to keep this tank in perfect working order. So if I get shot at and there's a bullet hole, it is my responsibility to fix the bullet hole.
That's exactly right. Here's the thing, and you just brought up something sort of that was the other big thing that I was kind of going to get into. Everything I hear about these healthcare reforms are all about putting people in charge of their own healthcare, right? Meaning, because I've seen this already, you have a health savings account, you get to choose. Hey, choose this, choose this, choose this.
Yeah, there's no state borders.
And so,
you can buy an insurance plan from anybody.
What I ended up doing at my own job was buying the most expensive healthcare plan they have. It was the only thing that wasn't a healthcare savings plan. I have the gold plan.
Yeah.
And it was because I did not want to run into the issue that people are going to be dealing with like crazy, which is, all right, if you're not covered, right, with your healthcare plan, you're not covered. You were in charge of your healthcare plan, Ben. Now that's your fault. You're complaining to me that you're starving to death because you don't have enough money for food because you can't work because your healthcare bills are too high. Well, you obviously should have planned better since you're in charge of it.
Yeah, that's your obviously fault. All my fault.
Not my fault. Yeah. I don't have to feel bad about you. And that is how you're going to get people getting sick and dying all over the place in America and good people, quote unquote, not caring about it because they're paying for their bad choices.
Well, it's like that poem, right? First they came for my health insurance plan, but I didn't care because I get my health insurance plan through work and it's safe.
Yeah. I thought of a reverse of that, which I'm not too happy about, but I'm going to share with you, Ben, and our one other listener who's still listening.
I think we have three listeners
that listen all the way through, though.
Oh God, no!
I don't know if I believe that.
I wouldn't. I don't even do that.
But it's first they alienated the cishet white males, and I didn't care because those guys. And then they went ahead and got rid of the white feminists. And I was like, well, screw them. Who cares? And the basic idea is, though, the reason I didn't write it is because it has to be a flow chart. Because eventually everybody's splitting off into their own group. Mm. That's what I see happening with the left, Ben. We're all becoming our own groups. Because we have an attitude... I'm guilty of it myself. That is, if you don't line up with my ideology, then I don't want to work with you.
Yeah, and that's...
Screw those guys.
That's... I hope you're wrong. I think you might be right.
That this happens? Well, it's being exacerbated.
It's because that's something that the Republicans do really well, is they...
Yep.
They line up behind their guy. And I think I mentioned this on the podcast before. I have one friend on Facebook who is vociferously Republican, right? Everything he posts is anti-Obama or anti-left, right? And I still I haven't unfriended him. He's a guy from high school that I know. Of course, it's always somebody from high school.
Aren't they always guy from high school? Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I haven't hidden him. I haven't unfriended him because part of it's entertaining. Most of it's sad, but a majority of it is just eye-rollingly frustrating because I want to say, how can you believe this? But on this,
and it keeps you kind of informed about what's going on over there,
like what the other side is thinking. But there was some sort of comment thread that I followed. Where they were talking about Trump being the nominee for the Republican Party, and he said in a comment, you know, I don't like Trump, but he's our guy.
Yep.
And so I'm gonna get behind him.
Yep.
And that is not what happened. And I still have friends who blame Bernie Bros for Hillary losing the nomination.
Yep. Well, everybody should have lined up behind Hillary, and if they had problems with their, you know, that's why it doesn't work.
Yeah, but I have a hard time, you know, they should have lined up behind the nominee because that's how you win. But I have a hard time believing it was, quote unquote, Bernie Bros Bernie Bros didn't have, you know, 30 years of Clinton in America. Bernie Bros.
I've stated this before. I will state it again. Bernie Bros. Did not exist as a large group until that bucket was created, and then people started getting put in it. I saw a tweet storm. No, I saw a tweet storm one time where someone was retweeting all of the Bernie bros that were harassing them.
Yeah.
And lots of them, lots of the Bernie bros, quote unquote, had usernames like Trump for Prez and
yeah,
that sort of thing. Because it was at that point when it looked like Bernie Sanders was doing well, if you were anti-Hillary Clinton about anything, you were a Bernie bro. No matter how you were actually voting.
Doesn't even, no, yeah, it's that's if you were if you didn't like Hillary, you were sexist and you were a Bernie bro.
And also, here's the other thing. In this election, eventually people are going to look back, mark my words, and they're going to see that in reality, it turns out that, you know, X percentage of people using Twitter were actually trolls,
yeah,
who weren't even registered to vote in the United States.
If there's one thing
it's going to happen.
If there's one thing,
yeah,
that I, the one reason why I wish time travel existed, it's so, yes, that I can go forward in time 50, 100 years and read an unbiased history book about this election.
Unbiased history book? Unbiased. It's impossible.
Like when you, like when, because history is written by the
winners,
right?
You're going to go ahead to how many years?
I said 50 to 100. I was just a safe distance away from any repercussions, immediate repercussions, that is.
Glorious leader Trump first became president. And no, I'm kidding. Yeah. But maybe not.
No.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, tell me something.
Sorry. So I want to tell you something that happened on Twitter, Ben.
Did Pagu get in a Twitter war? With Giraffe?
Pagu avoided a Twitter war very handily.
Must have been hard.
This is what
handily
happened. There was this guy
who's a puppet. Get it?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Ben. There was this guy who wrote to another guy, "You're a faggot. Just come out and get 10% off Vaseline and get back in."
Wait, gay people to get which a discount the person on Vaseline?
Well, this is the thing. The person wrote, "I was going to block because duh, but why do trolls think that I'm closeted?" Because he was a gay man.
Yeah.
And I wrote, Pagu, Pagu the puppet, wrote, "Also, Vaseline, no matter what your preference, that's a big no." And later on, the person who was writing goes, "Also, no oil-based lubricants," which was the point that Pagu was making.
Right.
To which the guy wrote back to Pagu and said, "I recommend 200 grid sandpaper for you." Now, what Pagu was going to do until Pagu's human friend's wife explained to him that that would be a bad idea was to go out and buy sandpaper and then write back to the guy, "Okay, I've got it. Now what?" And then just see where it goes from there. But here's my, this is my point though. The person,
and when you say the person, you're talking about the bigot on Twitter.
The person, yeah, exactly. The person was still writing. They're still around a little bit, but they unfortunately did something that I think is weird, and they said 200 grid sandpaper. Grid? G-R-I-D.
Interesting.
Yeah, now I know this for sure because I'm, you know, somewhat versed in the trade. It's 200 grit, G-R-I-T, grit.
Yes.
And I am typing in, I'm going into Twitter right now. I'm opening it up as though I was writing something.
I don't actually know if 200 grit is a coarse or a smooth. On the spectrum.
Okay, so it doesn't autocorrect it. So this person
wrote 200 grid as though 200 grid is what it was supposed to be. That's number one.
So are you number telling two, me that somebody who's being mean on Twitter doesn't know things?
Well, this is my other thing, and this is why I'm bringing it up. We're talking about lubricant, right? And we've already established this isn't a masturbation kind of thing. This is for gay sex.
Right.
What role does the sandpaper play in it?
Sir, you have not lived.
Let's take away the part. Let's take away the part where the person he's talking to is a puppet,
right?
But really, I mean, is it?
Maybe he thought you had wood.
Well, God, Ben, that works. That works. Asked and answered, counselor. All right. I was talking to Jennifer about this. I use asked and answered completely wrong every time.
Wait, what do you use
because
wrong?
Because asked and answered, right,
asked and-
is supposed to be when somebody brings something up and you've already answered it.
Oh.
And you say asked and answered.
Asked and answered.
I use asked and answered as, that's a good joke. I asked you, you answered me. That's the end. It's fun. Anyway, so if you are that troll and you're listening to this podcast.
Aval, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Yeah. Also, your diligence is great. But the main thing is, you know, why did you stop? He hasn't posted anything for 4 days. And he was going like full tilt after people. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe weird, his man. Mom dragged him to church.
Oh, yeah, maybe so. But that's the big thing is, if you're listening to this and you are, you know, if you don't like Bernie Sanders and you think that, you know, he's bad still, some people were posting, hey, why is Bernie Sanders still holding town hall meetings? He just can't let go of the spotlight. But it's not that. It's that he's a politician.
Yeah.
And that's what he does.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when
he's I don't think he's going to run for president again. I think he's going to keep on doing what he's doing.
Though. Yeah, I don't think he is either. I don't think Hillary is either. I think in 2020 we're going to get a fresh face. But if you remember in 2004 when Howard Dean got knocked out of the race for yelling for whatever reason. He became the head of the DNC, and he actually had a very successful push to get Obama into the White House in 2008.
Yeah.
And so that's just what these politicians do, man.
I would do that. If somebody says but emails, if they were saying but yelling, right, I would love that. But sitting in a tank, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Michael Dukakis, for anybody who doesn't know.
Yeah, exactly. Those two guys, right? That's what they had on them. That's what they and.
I know. I gotta imagine that once the Access Hollywood footage came out, and
everyone was convinced.
Really
that's
hurt his polls, and Howard Dean was just like, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah. Well, it's just like the whole Sandy Hook thing. Once Sandy Hook happened, that's it. Gun debate over, because what else are you going to do? I mean, what other tragedy could happen?
Right.
Well, obviously, there's the one that no one would want to talk about in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Oh, that. Oh.
So I'm not going to.
Gun rights is another topic that we can totally butcher on this podcast.
Yeah,
I mean,
there. Here's the thing. Also, I speak with and am friends with a lot of gun owners.
Yeah.
Members of the NRA, things like that, and I, I think I've mentioned this before, but gun rights. It really is a city versus a country thing. The people that you have, well, no, I take that back. I'm sure there are NRA members who live in the city also, but a lot of the concerns that happen, a lot of people who own guns,
yeah,
are only care about their guns. They don't care about the guns that other people have, right? And so they don't see the fact that guns are coming from the rural areas into the cities as being their problem. Their guns aren't the problem. Their guns are staying at their house, right, and all that kind of stuff. And so that's a debate that I really do think will never go anywhere.
No, it's never going to go anywhere because the gun lobby is also too big to let gun rights die. But here's what I have to say about how do we fix the gun problem? Everybody's like, how do we fix the gun problem? How do we fix, like, if you say, you know, you regulate guns like you do cars, right? So you need to pass a test. Yeah.
You have a license.
You need a license.
And I will say this, and I'm 100% honest about this. The people I talk to that are gun owners, right? They, every single one that I've talked to, are all for having licenses like you have a car.
But it's not
testing and license.
But it's not just that. It's you know, the guns getting into the wrong hands, right? Well, my guns aren't going to get into the wrong hands because they're in a safe and the bullets are hidden in Narnia or whatever. So
yeah.
So here, in my perfect world, all guns, you can have a gun if you want. Guns are great. Guns are super fun, right? I used to go to the shooting range with an old roommate of mine. My dad owns guns, right? I'm very much regulations, gun regulations.
Yep.
In my future utopia, all guns are biometrically operated. So you have to pass a test. You have to go through training. I don't care who you are. You go through training and you get registered. And the only way your gun will fire is if your thumb is on it.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Never
going to happen, but it's a beautiful dream.
Yeah. I like the idea of, gun insurance. For the person who sells the guns, if a gun that you sell
is used in a crime,
this goes, you have to have a tracking thing, right? But the gun you sell is used in a crime, it comes back on you.
Well, here's how you track it. You put RFID chips in all the bullets.
Possibly.
So you buy those bullets, and automatically, the gun registry knows which bullets you own. So if those bullets are found in a store clerk, there you go.
Here's the thing that I would like.
But somebody stole my bullets. Well, you're still
liable.
Because
people could steal your bullet. Yeah, yeah. That's the issue. Why don't we have force fields yet? That's what I want to know. That.
We have bulletproof glass. Is that not enough for you?
Give me a hamster wheel with a bulletproof glass thing, and I'll be fine. Hamster bubble.
A hamster bubble?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. A 3D wheel.
Oh, I told you about that. Hey, this is a fun thing we can end it on.
What's that?
Sorry, I'm eating a protein bar because I'm really hungry. I didn't eat when I came home. The Mike Doughty Soul Coughing song, New York. New York, New York, I won't go back.
Yeah. I don't think that's what it's called, but I know what song you're talking about.
So I had this... No, it's not. It's not what it's called. I had an idea for a video where it's Mike Doughty. He's in New York, and he's walking around in a giant glass hamster wheel. I mean, a giant glass hamster...
Hamster ball. Hamster ball.
Ball. Right, a hamster ball. Hamster wheel. You know, that spherical hamster wheel, Ben.
Yeah.
A giant hamster ball. So he's in New York, but he's not in New York. And then after I thought of that, I was like, that would also work for Is Chicago Is Not Chicago. And then I realized that I just want to see Mike Doughty walk around in a giant hamster ball. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So that song is called The Incumbent. And it's the final track on El Oso, which a lot of people were like, that's the worst Soul Coughing album. But, you know, I like it.
It was really great, though. After
saying it's the worst Soul Coughing, like, studio album is still giving it pretty high praise, in my opinion, because I love all of them.
Me too.
Yeah. And with that, are we going to have a Shouting for Betty segment today?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Hey, Betty! It's funny. I wasn't going to do it, but Ben asked for it, so.
Hey-ya!
Hey, Betty. How's it going?
Great. What are you eating?
A protein bar. You want to try some?
Of course. No.
Okay.
Good plan.
So how are things, Betty?
Great. Gonna be a big ice storm tomorrow.
Yep,
there's
gonna
be amazing.
We're gonna go to the grocery store and try to get supplies, because, yeah.
Supplies!
You're expecting a big
storm
tomorrow?
Supplies! Yeah, big ice storm.
Oh, big ice
storm. In the Midwest. Uh-huh.
Cool.
It's supposed to last Saturday and maybe even into Sunday.
Yeah, stock up.
No, Friday and Saturday.
Another, I don't know if you're planning
on... Well, no, but the ice might last until Sunday.
I don't know if you're planning on losing power or if you're expected to lose power, but...
I hope that the power stays on for most of it.
Yeah.
One thing that I heard is that...
Or else I'll suck!
A pro tip is to fill your bathtub with water before your power goes out. That way you'll still be able to... I mean, it's not drinkable water, but you'll still have water to boil and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right, how are we going to boil it? Oh, no.
Fire!
Yeah, because we have a gas furnace.
And gas for our hot water.
And gas for our hot water.
But not for our oven, so we have to...
But not for no gas oven.
No.
Food that we don't need to...
We're not planning...
So we got to go and get food that we don't need to heat up, just in case.
Yeah, get food that won't spoil. We're also over here in Seattle. It's still super cold, but it was super sunny today. It was people were saying it's beautiful, but I'm like, it's too bright.
It was 60 yesterday.
60
here in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Oh, 65. Sorry.
Wow, yep. that's almost summertime.
It is. Well, except summertime in Illinois is even hotter. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah. All right. Well, Ben,
Paul,
that's it.
That's all for today.
I love talking to you.
Yeah.
You're a great person. And thank you for listening to my grumpiness.
Yeah.
About all this stuff.
Yeah, we'll talk next week and we'll bitch even more.
Yeah, we'll fix everything, Ben. You and me. It's going
to
happen.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later. Yep.
Bye.
Keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong. Okay.